Terry, could you just remind me about who these people were that were the driving force of this company?
Well, we were all in the engineering class. That's myself. That's Jim Pluck. He was a foreman in the engineering department, the same as me. He was the building foreman. He was over the carpenters and the concrete squad, you know, that sort of work, house building. He was a draftsman, the chief draftsman. Warren Pence, that was John Lynch.
Engineer.
Wilkinson, another engineer there. Barney Fitzpatrick, he was a foreman, much the same as myself. That was the chief engineer, O'Neill. This man here was the chief,
purchasing manager.
Purchasing manager.
John Campion.
He was John Campion. He was Huey Hurdle. He was a papermaking foreman. That was the managing director, Mr. Cusack. He was the same as myself, that chap there. He's dead also, John Geraghty. He was the production manager, Sean Carroll. And he was the foreman electrician. And the reason we're all there is, that man had been there for years, the foreman electrician, very experienced man. And he was going out in early retirement. So Cusick, you see, had previously been an engineer himself. He started in the mill as an engineer and worked his way up and became managing director. So
Bill Brandt
was going out on pension, and we all had a do, through a do for him. We all ended up in the Green Isle Hotel or something like that, even Cusick. Because, you see, Cusick was also, like, you've tied in with the engineering end of it. That's what he basically was, an engineer, you know.
Okay. And these people, they all seemed to, they were all dedicated workers.
They were all very good men, yeah.
And worked very well in the establishment.
Worked very well, yeah, worked very well together, yeah.
Did people say that the unions caused trouble? I mean, do you agree with that?
No, I don't think so, no. The unions are always blamed for causing trouble. If you had no unions, though, it'd be all like the Chinese now, living in shacks or something, you know. You have to have unions. Well, like Clondalkin, there was over 700 working in Clondalkin at one stage, you know, and it's a huge place. If you put in the wood that the groundwood plant, where you're making your own pulp, there was about 700 working in the place. It's a very big place.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest employers in the country at one stage, you know, I think.
And what was fascinating was that you were actually exporting paper to England at one stage.
We were, yeah.
Yes, because it was after the war and England was devastated itself. And we did sell quite a lot of paper to England.
Oh, where? Yeah. Can you remember from the paper headings, who were they? Who?
One of them was Mutimer, M-U-T-I-M-E-R, Mutimer. They were based in London. And the other one that I remembered is Lord.
Lord,
I think it was J.M. Lord, but I wouldn't be 100% sure. But it was Lord was the other one.
And
they were both based in or around London.
Oh, I see.
Now, the paper was shipped to Liverpool. And then it was taken from there. I don't know how it was taken from there. My job kind of finished when it got my job of typing was the papers covering it to get to England, you know.
Oh, was there a lot going?
There would be fair tonnages, yes, yeah. There would. And the mill really depended on those orders.
And who was buying the paper in the north of Ireland from the...
I was trying to think of that while you were talking there. I cannot remember. But we sent paper every week to the north of Ireland. And there would be a huge... Mr. Buggy used to drive the huge lorry.
Oh, well, the trailer.
With the trailer,
yeah,
yes.
That, yeah.
So there would be a very big tonnage going to the north of Ireland too, every week.
Yeah.
And that went, that was for cement bags,
yeah.
That particular paper.
Okay.
So it must have been going to a cement factory now that I think of it, yeah. So then there was all the paper in Ireland that would be sent around, you know, but I wouldn't have huge responsibility there. There would be ordinary papers that would go with that, those shipments.
Now, typing out those, that must have been some task, because these were old Remington machine, I think, is what they were called.
Yeah, that's right, yes. And they were very old machine. Well, they were new to us, but now they would be absolutely ancient, probably be in museums. But, you would get through all the stuff, you know.
So the other girls working with you, did you have time to communicate with each other, or was it all very hard work all the time?
We were kept going. I was kept going much more than others, maybe, because of the documents I typed. And I also used a dictaphone. So I would get this old dictaphone was a cylinder kind of thing. And when you were finished typing and everything was finished there, you shaved it off and it was used again. So it's really ancient stuff, you know. And so I got a good few of those cylinders to type, you know. Now, you would be fast on those because you were just listening and typing, whereas if you had something beside you, it would be slower, you know.
Imagine.
Yes.
And you must tell me about the type of you told me that it was busy, that there were a lot of companies in Ireland buying paper from the mills as well.
Yes.
But was there, I mean, you were the hub. You were, you know, everything that was happening had to go through
you. To go through us, yes. Yeah.
And did you find the sales of the papers over time, were there peaks, you know, where it would get really busy and then go down quite
again? Oh, yes, it would.
When was the busy time?
Well, the busy time would be when you had shipments or when you had the paper going to the north, because you had to have everything in order, you know, so that when the lorry would go out, they'd have all their papers in with them, you know. And so you had to have all those in order and in time.
And those papers, you were saying that because of customs and restrictions.
Yes.
So what kind of can you recall?
There were documents and they were partly printed. And you put carbon paper in between to get so many copies. Then you put them in the machine and you type in all the details covering the shipment of paper.
Okay. And what kind of information were the customs looking for?
Well, they were looking for the type of paper, where it was going, and the tonnages, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And having the correct amount of tonnage on the...
That was very important, yeah. You had to have all your figures correct. Mm. Because if a shipment was held up, you had to pay key charges. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that? Yeah.
Now, if a shipment arrived in Liverpool and the papers didn't relate properly to the shipment, and it was held on the quay waiting for the correct information, would be quay charges.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
And the poor men who were dragging this paper back and forth, who were the truck drivers?
Well, one of them, his name was Buggy, and another, his name was... Can you remember them driving?
I can't remember their name.
Mr. Buggy, and another man's name was Curry.
Yeah, he was a driver, that's right, Curry. And what about the family that lived in Dundalk and used to do, they were contractors. What was their name?
Minahans. Yes, the Minahans.
They had a couple of lorries.
Yeah.
They worked as contractors for the mill, you know.
Yeah,
they weren't employed directly by the mill, but their lorries were in there all the time.
And they were available if there was extra pay, extra work, you know, together.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would call them in and they'd come and deliver as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many years altogether were you there?
I was only there about 6.
And did you miss it when you were at... I mean, 6 years is a long time in a way, you know.
Did I miss it when I married?
Yeah.
Well, you would. Of course, you'd miss the companionship of all the people you'd worked with, because we really were. We got on great, you know.
Yeah.
It was a lovely place to work as regards the staff.